At this time, I'd like to read the Old Testament reading for you. I bring it into this position so that it is foremost on your mind as we prepare to hear the sermon for today. And that reading is from Ezekiel chapter 33, starting at verse 7. "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, 'Thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, as we rot away because of them. How then can we live?' Say to them, 'As I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways, for will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. But the sins that he has committed shall be none of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, 'The way of the Lord is not just,' when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, 'The way of the Lord is not just.' O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways." This is God's word. Let's respond as we sing the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
realize what you just prayed in that hymn? Let's go back to stanza 3, if I can make this go. Could somebody help me with that? Now, there we go. Back to stanza 3. And you see that hymn stanza that we just sang and prayed. Let's go one more slide and let's make that first line. Can we go one more slide, please? There we go. So, let's read that first line together of that stanza, the part that's in red. Shall we read it together? Assist my soul too apt to stray, a stricter watch to keep. Now just let that sink in for a moment. O Lord, assist my soul too apt to stray, a stricter watch to keep. You just asked God to assist you in keeping a stricter watch over your soul. Now, if you were God, how would you answer that prayer for your people? Would you assist them by shooting them a quick text message every time sin is crouching at their door to warn them? Or would you maybe have a drone somehow deliver them a warning every time they come within earshot of a false teaching? Or would you perhaps instant message them a few times every day with an inspirational quote to try to keep them on the straight and narrow? If you were God, how would you answer that prayer? How would you assist your people in keeping a stricter watch over their souls? And by the way, did you also notice the reason you prayed this prayer? You said it is because your soul is too apt to stray. You need God's assistance because of your tendency to wander away from God and His Word and His will. But because you are also baptized into Christ and you are His new creation, the new you in Christ truly is concerned to keep the ways of the Lord. We are His people. We want to do what He wants us to do. And we also want to be told when we are in spiritual danger, just as you would want your doctor to give it to you straight if you have a serious disease. And so you pray that God would assist you in keeping a stricter watch over your soul. Well, guess what? He answers your prayer today the way He has always answered this prayer of His people, by sending people to speak for Him. This is how God assists His people, through the prophets in the Old Testament, through our Lord Jesus Himself, and then His apostles. And now, as Paul says in Ephesians, now He gives some to be pastors. Yes, your pastor is the answer to your prayer. I'm the answer to your prayer. Now, before you think to yourself, boy, he sure has a high opinion of himself, let me assure you, I don't. To me, it is not the least bit aggrandizing to think that God has called me to be a watchman here, your pastor. To the contrary, it terrifies me to think that God wants me to assist you in keeping a stricter watch over your soul by appointing me to be the watchman here. But that's the pastor's job. Jesus described the work of the pastor as the work of a shepherd who watches over the sheep. And the word pastor means shepherd. Paul says that pastors are overseers who must carefully watch over the flock. And now, in our Old Testament reading today, the pastor's work is described as that of a watchman on the wall. But no matter how you slice it, it always comes out the same. The pastor is called to keep watch over the Lord's people, which is an awesome and a terrifying responsibility. And here's why it's so terrifying. Again, we read in verse 8, If you, O watchman, say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but here it comes, but his blood I will require at your hand. Like every pastor, every watchman who has served this congregation in 150 years, I am called to speak God's warning to you whenever you are in spiritual peril. I am called to tap you on the shoulder whenever you get off track, whenever you turn to idols such as sports or patriotism or money, whenever your words or your actions or your Facebook posts are beyond the bounds of Christian love, whenever you steal or defraud or live unfaithfully in any way, whenever you neglect worship and the gifts of Jesus Christ in his sacrament and in the fellowship of the believers, and if I fail to do that and you perish in your sin, I bear responsibility. You see why this is not at all aggrandizing? It's terrifying. But then there's even more to this watchman job. We go to verse 12, and we read this. And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And the righteousness of the righteous and the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. So God has called me to take you to task. Whenever you start to think like a Pharisee, that the good things you have done in your life somehow outweigh the bad, and that therefore you are in good standing with God because of your merits. And that's when I, as the watchman, have to say to you, no, you are in peril here. You cannot compensate for your sins. Isaiah said, even your supposed righteousness is tainted with sin. It's like a filthy rag. It counts for nothing. You cannot live by your own supposed righteousness. And it's the watchman's job to say those things to you, to rebuke you, to correct you, to warn you. And if you ignore his warning, well, that's where verse 9 comes into play. God says to Ezekiel, but if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. If you ignore the watchman's warnings, you are like that person who ignores that big yellow sign that says, danger, high water, and proceeds anyway, only to get swept away by floodwaters. And if you die, you have no one to blame but yourself. The road crew did their work. They warned you, and you didn't listen. Now, of course, the watchman who stands on the city wall to warn the people of impending danger, that watchman cannot go door to door to everybody in the city individually and warn them. That's just not practical or possible. But instead, he sounds the trumpet for the whole city to hear. Nor can the pastor always deal with each and every person each and every time they are in spiritual danger. So instead, he sounds the warning for the whole assembly to hear in his preaching. The pulpit is the watchman's best opportunity to warn all of you against your pet sins, against the false teachings that are sucking you in, and against the spirit of this age that is deceiving you. Sometimes the pastor will hear the charge, You know, he thinks he's so much better than everyone else. Let me assure you, I do not. That's not true. But just as God three times addressed Ezekiel as the Son of Man, His word also continually reminds me that I am the Son of Man. I am sinful. I am mortal. I am too apt to stray, just like you. That I face all the same temptations, all the sins that you do. And what we all need to remember, myself included, is that the warnings that the pastor speaks do not come from someone who is holier than thou. But they do come from someone who is called by God to speak those words. As Jesus says, he who listens to you listens to me. But even that is not the end of the watchman's job. We go to verse 11. God says, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. For will you die, O house of Israel? You see, a good watchman not only urges his people to turn away from their evil behavior, that's not all there is to Christianity and to being a child of God, but a true watchman also urges you to turn toward something. Actually, to turn toward someone that you might live. And so God calls his watchmen, his pastors, to point the people to another Son of Man, besides Ezekiel, besides the pastor. And that Son of Man is Jesus, the Son of Man born of Mary. He came in the human flesh to face all of the same temptations that we face as mortals, except that he succeeded in resisting where you and I have not. And he kept the law of God perfectly, not just for himself, but for us. And in love for us, he saw to it that his obedience is credited to your account and mine. And in him we are reckoned to be righteous, not by a righteousness of our own, but by the righteousness that is given to us through faith in Christ. And as we will see again in these coming weeks, he did even more than that by giving up his life on the cross as the payment for our sins, and by rising again for our salvation. And all of these benefits became yours when you were baptized into his family, and when you believed in him as the one, the only one, who atones for the sins of the whole world. And all of the power which came to you from the Holy Spirit in your baptism is here today for you right now to help you daily turn away from your sins and to turn back to Jesus in faith. And when you confess your sins, when you are discouraged because you fell into that sin again, or when you despair of God's love because of something that you did or said, and you're feeling horrible about yourself, that is when I am the watchman to call you back to safety in the mighty fortress, back to your only refuge, back to Jesus Christ, and to say to you from verse 16, none of all the sins you have committed shall be remembered against you. If you are of a certain age, you no doubt recall that day in 1986 when the space shuttle Challenger blew up over the Atlantic Ocean shortly after it was launched. And maybe you also recall that the blame for that tragedy was laid on a faulty O-ring on the solid rocket boosters that would not maintain their integrity if the temperature fell below freezing. And you might also recall that there was an engineer by the name of Alan MacDonald who refused to sign off on the launch that morning of the Challenger because the temperatures the night before had dropped below freezing, and he warned them that it could result in a failure of those O-rings. But no one listened. And the launch took place anyway. And we well remember the disastrous consequences. For telling the truth, Alan MacDonald was removed from his job and was demoted. Later on, however, he was vindicated by a presidential commission and he was restored to his job, where he then led the redesign of the solid rocket boosters. And because of that redesign, the astronauts who flew the shuttle from then on considered the solid rocket booster to be the safest piece of equipment on the shuttle. Well, God has called Ezekiel, God has called your pastor to sound that kind of warning for your eternal safety and well-being. They are the answers to your prayer, that God would assist you in keeping a stricter watch over your soul. Don't ignore the watchman. And don't despise him because he speaks the truth of God. But turn from your evil ways. Turn back to the Lord. Turn back to the one who died for your sin and rose for your justification. Turn, O Israel, turn back to him and live. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.